Hello, I'm Cameron Curry, and my life has been a series of bold decisions and defining moments. It all started with leaving home straight out of high school to work construction, followed by 7 years serving in the U.S. Air Force at home and abroad. But 2 years into my 7-year enlistment, I realized my passion and purpose were elsewhere. That led me to Italy, where I started a nonprofit CrossFit affiliate, and then to Hong Kong, where I refined my coaching skills before eventually finding a new home here in Northern Virginia, where I managed a gym for 4 years. But my appetite for the challenge wasn't satisfied yet. At 34, I left the comfort and stability of that salaried position to dive into entrepreneurship. Today, as the founder of Base 3 Fitness, I've guided countless athletes worldwide toward their health goals. And now we're planning on opening our first physical location within the next year. The journey is only getting started.
Failure, a term burdened with such negativity that it can end careers, companies, fame, and fortune. However, those who have experienced it know that failure can also serve as a catalyst for progress, even though it is rarely part of the narrative. It is time to delve into the heart of the story and listen to the vulnerable perspective of accomplished entrepreneurs, leaders, artists, athletes, and those who inspire us. Join your hosts, Alex Love and Elliot Volkman, as we dismantle the stigma surrounding failure and empower you to transform these challenges into opportunities on your own journey forward. Welcome to Mastering the Art of Failing.
Thanks so much for joining us, Cam, or as I know you, Coach Cam. I think we've crossed into from a few years into many years of working together on a variety of different places. And it's been really cool to see a fraction of your journey from starting off. We met when I moved from DC into Virginia. The first priority I had was to find a new gym. And so that's how we got acquainted, was I took your class for a couple of years. And then when you ended up leaving and we both decided to pursue new things, you've been my coach. Doing powerlifting on the side, which has been really cool. So I've seen a quarter of your journey, but there's some nuggets that you talked about that I was not aware of, including a physical gym, which I'm excited about. So we'll dig into more of that before. But I'd love to start at the beginning, right? You left high school, you worked construction for a little bit, and then you had some sort of calling to join the Air Force. So let's talk a little bit about that. Why did you decide to join the Air Force, and walk us through your military career?
Gosh, yeah, it takes me back a little bit. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I've listened to a few episodes. I really love the idea of, like you said, dispelling the notion that failure is a bad thing. And I'm really excited to talk about the different hurdles and stuff like that I've come across in my life. Yeah, the Air Force in high school, college, nobody in my family went to college. So college was such an unfamiliar thing. And in small town Pennsylvania, a lot of farm communities and stuff like that, the military seemed to be the only way. And I really saw myself going to the military after high school, but over summer, I went to Ohio for a few months to work construction, and I ended up falling in love with just the autonomy I had, the freedom I had. I was working with my uncle, so I had a nice company truck and a cell phone, and it was a cool gig for an 18-year-old. But very quickly, the part-time work turned to overtime work, and I wasn't being compensated in line with that. So I was just like, this is obviously going to have a pretty quick shelf life as far as a career goes. So what's next? And then that led me to revisit the notion of the Air Force. And I remember a lot of the conversations I had with my mom about it, because she worked at a dining club at the time. And she's told me that so many of the members at this exclusive club were ex-military, retired Air Force. And she said, if you're going to join, you have to join the Air Force. These guys are so smart. They're so well-traveled. They're so together. And I'm like, well, that sounds like something I want. So yeah, after my run of construction, I reached out to a recruiter and went to basic training. Like 3 months after that, I had to wait for my career slot to open up, which was radio and TV broadcasting. And as soon as I took that jump, I didn't look back, because it was something that I think a lot of people have that desire to do something bigger than themselves. And for me, for 18-year-old me, like the military was that thing for sure. But yeah, that's the foray into military life.
Yeah, that tracks. From small town New Jersey. Yeah. Definitely neighbors. I get it. But that's really cool. So in your intro, you talked about 2 years into your 7-year tenure, you realized maybe this isn't my purpose. Talk a little bit about what led to that and how you survived another 5 years, right? What did you do for 5 years? And what was the ultimate, okay, you know what? I've served my time. I'm ready to move on.
Ooh, I think as a young guy, there's a lot of pressure to, like I said, there's that feeling of serving something bigger than yourself. And I definitely felt that, right? But there were several moments along that trajectory where I was like, wow, I get so much more satisfaction in helping others reach their fitness goal. For sure, I got into fitness selfishly at first to help me prepare for the military, to help me with high school football and that sort of thing. But I never really realized the profound impact it could have on others. And once I saw that, I was like, this is it. This is everything for me. But how I managed to get through that next 5 years was actually in Italy, where I was stationed. That was where I opened up my first nonprofit. And that was my first chance to help moms, to help generals, to help everybody from kids all the way up to 4-star generals with their fitness. And that to me was just the epitome of service. And that's one of the big things in the military is like service before self. That to me, I was able to use fitness as a vehicle for that core value in the military. And service before self meant to me just taking care of others and helping them find their health, their wellness, and balance in life, really.
So if you don't mind, I would love to dig into that a little bit. So as someone who has obviously never been anywhere near the military, in my mind, I see an excessive amount of training, exercise, fitness-related activity built in. So why necessarily for someone in the military, why do you need to hone in on that skill set? It's, I don't know, again, from an outsider perspective, I just assume you're running in circles and doing terrible things all the time. But what's the focal point to like really elevate that, to make your health and focus on health, not just doing the routines? I'm curious, what was the background? What was the inspiration to elevate that component?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think for me and for the military, to go back to that, like so much of your time in the military, the fitness aspect is, I don't want to say it's a punishment, but like fitness is a necessary evil that you have to wake up early and go to PT. And some people love it. Like I was one of the guys up bright and early, like let's go run. But for others, it was, I have this job. And in the military, there's accountants, there's lawyers, there's radio and TV broadcasters like myself. So there's civilian counterparts in the military. And I think in a lot of ways, there's still that civilian mindset of fitness is just a thing that I have to do to support my life and the rhythm at which I live. So for a lot of people, fitness was a point of friction, I want to say. Not for everybody, pretty generalized statement. But I mainly worked a lot with spouses, military spouses who were stationed overseas, who didn't necessarily have that community feel that the military members might have had in their office, et cetera. I was able to bring children, moms, dads, everybody together into an environment to express their fitness and learn that, oh, damn, this can actually be really fun and really engaging and really, it's not about the fitness. It's more about the community that I'm hanging out with and the people here supporting me and lifting me up.
All right. Now you're definitely speaking my language, because I never had a love affair with fitness, and I've got 200 milers under my belt, done a couple of Ironman races.
Crazy.
It's stupid is what it is. Yeah. Alex was part of that initial foray into that. We all very poorly
raced. Someone decided that our first half marathon should be in Asheville, North Carolina, which training in DC with no mountains when we got there, I was like, I'm not qualified to run up this mountain. But somehow we survived. And then after that parlayed, Elliot kept going and I said, lifting shiny things over here.
Let me go lift this. This sounds a lot more fun.
That's exactly right. But we jumped in as a group, a way to connect together. So I totally get that. And Alex decided to go with a more mentally healthy approach. So I don't know about that.
We all have our reasons for going to the gym. But absolutely. Cam, you talked a little bit about the purpose of community, right? And how that makes, you know, that was the building block of the training you were doing and getting into it. And it makes a lot of sense as to why you would parlay into CrossFit, right? Because CrossFit may have a poor connotation to certain people, but it is very community-based. And I think that's what drew me to it when I started my CrossFit journey, was the community, was the gym. And that's again, how we met, was that community. So talk a little bit about how you got started with CrossFit and why you decided, leaving the military, this is the community for me, and I want to build a community, a stronger CrossFit community internationally and then here in the Northern Virginia area.
Yeah, for sure. That's when I think back to how I got started at CrossFit, I started with CrossFit. It was really I'm going to say it how it was. It was an attempt. I was trying to hit on a girl at the gym. That's basically what it was. I saw her doing like the kipping pull-ups, and I went over to her thinking I was going to wow her with like my strict pull-ups. Check this out. And as I'm talking to her, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? What the hell is that crazy thing you're doing on the bar? You're just all over the place. Try it like this, trying to show off a little bit. And she politely pulled her earphone out and was like, listen, bro, it's CrossFit. If you want to get a good workout, come in tomorrow, same time, same place. And I did. And I promptly got my ass handed to me by a Marine. And it was embarrassing. It was humbling. But man, there was just something special about the shared suffering that we were both in the shit, sweating, grunting, groaning, and then walking away from it. Oh, wow. That I feel profoundly different than when I walked into the gym. If I can figure out a way to carry this feeling to other people, that would be epic. I just want people to feel this good about their fitness, about their training, about their life. So I started training just military friends that I was stationed with. This was in Kandahar, Afghanistan. And it started with a group of three or four people. And then I took that with me back to the States when I returned to my duty assignment. I got my CrossFit certification in 2009. And from there, it was just these kind of ad hoc training groups wherever I was stationed, which eventually grew into this nonprofit affiliate in Vicenza, Italy, where we ran classes multiple times a day. I think we had like 50 members total at one point before I left Italy. So it was mainly trying to take that initial feeling of accomplishment, but also just like, I felt so like I had so much work to do. So there was this big gap of like where I am and where I want to be. I wanted to help other people see that gap and then potentially work to close that gap. And that has now turned into just trying to help people do the same thing with their lifestyle, with their nutrition, with their mindset, that sort of thing.
Very cool. So leaving Italy, how'd you get to Hong Kong, and talk about your time in Hong Kong?
Yeah. So I left Italy, and honestly, like there are these moments in life that I talked about it in the intro, these defining moments, these bold leaps. And I got out of the military. I felt like I was prepared until the day came where I had to fly back to the States. And I was just like, what do I do? I had become institutionalized. Like my wardrobe was taken care of. All my meals were paid for. My living conditions were all set. So I moved to Florida for a little bit, and I coached there very briefly, like a year or so. And then I realized very quickly that I had bumped up against the ceiling of what the owner of that gym could provide for me as far as a living. Unless I wanted to absolutely just burn myself out and run myself into the ground. So I started reaching out and talking to my network of CrossFit folks, and found this position in Hong Kong, coaching full-time, salary, benefits, paid vacation. And as a 27-year-old, I was like, hell freaking yeah, this is awesome. I get to live overseas again. I get to have that kind of military travel mentality again. So I traveled around quite a bit. But yeah, over in Hong Kong, it was a grind. It's a very work hard, play harder culture over there. So I was coaching 27 classes a week, and then I would stay out until 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was just like, I realized about that was probably a year into it. I was like, this is not sustainable. This is going to end very poorly for me. So let me try to find a position back in the States. And that's when I started looking for jobs, Indeed, and that sort of thing on back in the States. And luckily, I found this position outside of Fairfax, Virginia, where I was born. And about 5 years ago, I moved back to Virginia to start coaching here in the States.
Yeah. And that's how we met. So talk a little bit. So going back again, because I feel like this is something that, you know, a lot of military veterans struggle with, that transition you talked about, having your entire day, your entire life prescripted for you, right? Everything is scheduled, your clothes, your life, it's all there for you. Talk a little bit about some of the lessons learned, or maybe feelings of how did you transition successfully from military into civilian life?
Successfully.
or not, right? The show about failing. So you can talk about some of the failures there too. But a lot of veterans struggle with this, and a lot of people in the military may be listening to this, right? So what advice do you have for coming out?
Yeah, I do want to make it very clear that it was definitely something that mentally, it was probably one of the most trying times in my life, but I don't think I realized, or maybe I was in denial to that fact. Like, we're talking breaking out in hives, not being able to sleep, just really wound up super tight because I felt this impending date of my departure from the military and without much of a cushion or safety net to fall on. So what sort of lessons did I learn in that is just, man, it would definitely be to try and like really sit with your thoughts, because that's one of the things that I didn't do. I think in a lot of ways I was in such a hurry to go to the next party, do the next function, just anything to distract myself from what I needed to do, which is some deep reflection on, all right, Cameron, you served 7 years in the military. You're about to start this new chapter at 27 years old. The world is a different place from where it was when you were a civilian last. So some deep reflection, some deep kind of introspection would have been something that, like, looking back, I wish I would have done more of, if there's a lesson there somehow. But then also just understanding that you can make all the preparation. You can try to factor in every single possible outcome in a situation and still fall flat on your face. Just because you've done the diligence on your end, don't expect it to be beautiful, easy, rainbows and sunshine, because life's hard sometimes.
Yeah. As a transitioning into a new mom life, yeah, I get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As much as you can plan, it is what it is. The tiny dictator screams at me and that's my day plan is out the window, right? But
right.
Got to go with it.
Absolutely. Just got to roll with the punches. That's it.
All right. So building upon that, I do want to maybe dig into a little more, maybe looking at some of those pivot points and balancing prep versus winging it. Now, you did mention introspection and really just thinking through the process, but do you feel for folks transitioning back to civilian life, do you feel like there's any tactical things that you wish you had done? Obviously, basically treating yourself with fitness, that's my mental therapy. And I assume there's an aspect of that to yourself, but tactically, do you feel like there's anything that they should look towards to build into the plan that will just help them, guide them through that kind of process?
Yeah, I think the mistake that I made was thinking that I could do it alone. Like, I've got this, I can muscle my way through this. And I think I spent a lot of my early upbringing kind of fending for myself and just going it alone. And that was one thing, as soon as I got out, I realized that, God, I didn't use my network enough. Like, there are people in your corner always willing to fight. From a tactical standpoint, like, use your network, use the people in your corner, because it can be a very lonely road. It doesn't have to be, because again, you're not the only one that's going through it. There are other people who have gone through it as well. And to be able to be humble enough to reach out and seek that guidance, that was something that I didn't do. And I feel like it made it exponentially more challenging from a doing it alone standpoint. Like, it was a lot more challenging. And I would say, prepare, like, financially prepare a living situation, prepare. And I had done a little bit of this, but I was like, I got to a certain point, I'm like, I'll be good. It'll be fine. Everything will work out. Usually does. And it made it just like an uphill battle to get to that point where it was working out. So yeah, use your network, use the resources that the military provides as well. They do an amazing job of, it's called the Transition Assistance Program, I believe, TAPS, for the Air Force. Use any resource they give you, job portals. Open yourself up to opportunities, because if you retreat inward, which is what I did to a certain degree, you're closing yourself off to those potential opportunities. And I think that's a very limiting mindset to have when transitioning back to civilian life.
Interesting. So I think one thing that really stands out to me is earlier in our conversation so far, you've already talked about the importance of building community and being part of a community. And it sounds like that is a piece that might maybe psychologically be embedded in you and helps drive some of the stuff that you're doing today and why you're building these things for other people, connecting other people together. But you've lived through being a one-person crew and you've seen some of the challenges. And now maybe that even just adds additional fire to, like, why you're going full steam ahead on building these connections to people.
I hadn't really thought, like, I really appreciate that. I hadn't thought about it like that, because I do remote coaching for the most part. So it's a lot of me just tinkering away on the computer. And it's only when I'm able to zoom out like this, do I see that, oh, holy shit. Yeah, I have a community of 40 people right now that have just decided to put themselves first, finally, in their life and make changes for the good. So yeah, it's a good way to look at it, for sure.
Yeah. And the other aspect is I have a horrible schedule. So I fully appreciate the more remote coaching aspect of this. But at the end of the day, like, I have an entire library of books that teach me how to go through ultras and Ironman and all that stuff. But it's different to have someone else with a clear mindset and perspective to help like shape that and put that into one aspect. And it looks like we have a little bit of a visitor, yeah. So I had to interrupt.
Oh, my goodness.
So for our listeners, we obviously took a little bit of a break. And if you are watching, you now know why. Alex is back with her little one. Sorry to derail our conversation. No, anyways, where I was going with that aspect is, I think even for a busy person like myself, having a person like you on their side, community is not an army of people. It's not many people. It could literally just be someone like yourself with a clear focal perspective to help guide someone through that. It's basically a mentorship too.
Yeah. And honestly, that was one of the biggest surprises, because when I left my coaching position to start Base 3, I was like, hell yeah, I'm just going to be a fitness coach and write workouts and help people reach their weight goals and all this stuff. But it ended up being more and more me helping people through these massive decisions in life and these like defining moments that they were going through. And I'm like, holy cow, this is so relatable, because like I did this a decade ago, 5 years ago, whatever. And it ended up being like me teaching people how to show up for themselves. That way they can show up better for their community. And I take a lot of satisfaction in that, like improving. It sounds very big and grandiose, but improving the world by going inward first, and then that will hopefully radiate outward to whatever community you find yourself
in. So I think reflecting back on that, that is a fantastic point, because we're often taught until like kindergarten that happiness comes from within, and there's all sorts of negativity in the world. And unless you're happy, how are you supposed to shape it and shift it forward? The one thing that I thought was really interesting, and it speaks to some of the stuff that I get asked a lot for whatever reason, is that when people start their fitness and health journeys, usually they are like, there's all sorts of levels, but someone will ask, hey, I want to run a marathon, or I just want to run, or I just want to do this. But like the why, that's the big question. Mm. And I think that's what stands out in the relationship you're building with people, because you're not just building fitness plans for people. You're essentially a therapist. You're trying to determine what the outcome is, what's the motivation, what's driving them to do it. And that is probably the biggest factor, because self-motivation is challenging in itself. But to have someone like you by their side to help guide them through that process and understand how to embrace those elements. But yeah, that's what seems to stand out to me in this kind of aspect that you're building.
Yeah, most definitely. It's one of those, man, if people knew, just because I'm a fitness coach and a health coach, people, I think, automatically maybe jump to the conclusion that I've got all my stuff dialed in. Like, I eat perfectly. I sleep 8.5 hours a night. I do all this stuff. But if you knew how many times I found myself in the frozen food aisle staring at Ben and Jerry's ice cream, you would just be appalled, because it doesn't make me immune to it being a fitness coach and a health coach, but yeah, getting to the why of people's motivation and then being brave enough to say, you know what, Elliot, I don't really think that's that important to you. Let's be honest. Is that really something you want? And if it is, why? Because so-and-so said you should, because somebody in your family might've done that before. Who cares? What do you want to do? And that getting to that root and that essence of what makes a person uniquely that person is my mission in a lot of ways, trying to strip away all the expectations of society and like their circle, whatever that might be.
I love that perspective. Self-actualization is such a difficult component to even consider. Most people are so busy and make our lives so occupied with activities that you can't even really consider that. Like, I will not mention my age on this for the sake of my own sanity, but I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but I'm grown up. So to be able to build that plan and understand that, having, again, someone like you to help guide them through that, it's a pretty good indicator that you've been through some of those experiences. You understand how to do that. But for the record, I have no idea how you can stare at a freezer aisle and not come home with some bad food, because I have failed every single time.
I do occasionally.
That's why you don't walk into the aisle at all to begin with.
I don't know how it happens. I black out and I'm like, oh, this is the frozen food aisle again.
That happens to me at Trader Joe's when I go to Trader Joe's. I'll come out and I'll be like, wait, what is any of this? None of this is food that I actually need. But no, that's really cool. And we've had a lot of these conversations, right? To your point, Elliot, Cam is a little bit of part of my therapy, right? Going to the gym is therapy, but also the conversations we have and the accountability is a part of it. And going through something like a pregnancy with a trainer and now postpartum with a trainer, you very quickly figure out this actually is very important to me. And this is why I continue to do it. And everyone's like, why are you still here? How are you back? Were you doing this? I can't disappoint Cam. But at the end of the day, it's important to me. And it's important. And I'm very excited to bring her to the gym. And that's part of my why, is the strength and how much mental clarity it gives me.
And that's it. You ultimately have to show up for yourself. Like, I can explain to you how amazing it feels to do all the things, to train, to meditate, to, you know, do your breath work, whatever it is. But it's up to you to realize, like, your life could be potentially exponentially better if you just adopt those things and stick with it versus trying to fight it or trying to resist it. And it's one of those things too, like, to go back to what you said earlier, Elliot, is there's never a final destination. And that's something that a lot of people struggle with. It's I don't have any clients that have reached a goal and said, you know what? I'm good, actually. This is where I want to be for the rest of my life. No, let's continue to move that goal forward. What's the next thing? Like, we're meant for struggle. We're meant for resistance a little bit, I feel like, as humans. And we've gotten a little bit comfortable sometimes. Some of us have just like status quo. I'm going to maintain. I'm just going to live my life like this and be reactive versus leaning in a little bit and making my own change in my own way.
Yeah. And Alex, I hope you weren't smiling because you did that one marathon and that was it. You shifted over to something else.
Hey, I ran 5 half marathons and then I retired, but only because I was physically on I let the universe decide if I was going to do the Cherry Blossom 10 miler every year because it's a lottery. And so 2020, I'm like, I don't really want to do this anymore, but I'll put my name in the lottery. And of course, for the 4th year in a row, I get into it. And it was 2020 at the time. And I'm on training run with one of my good friends. We get the cancellation race notice because of COVID. And I said, okay, I'm going to go home. And I ran home and then I never went out for a run again. So
retired the running shoes that day.
Did. So COVID was a part of that and floundering around a little bit. But yeah, then you find your true purpose, which is definitely not running. It is definitely in the gym.
Were you doing powerlifting or however you position it, like a week before the little one arrived?
Oh, I went to the gym the day before she arrived. Yeah.
Like, it's impressive. Like, just the dedication. Like you said, it's like therapy for you. Like, you're in this really big transitional phase in life. What is the most stable thing you have? It's like that routine of getting in the car, going to the gym, warming up. It's that comfort, I feel like. Was that something that you noticed leading up to the final days before the baby, Alex?
Yeah, because I knew my world was about to totally shift. And being able to hang on to the last possible day and last possible moment to walk in and say, okay, I'm still here. I'm doing it. And then to walk in back 3 weeks later was cool, too. I officially got cleared yesterday, and I laughed when the doctor said, you can go back to the gym. And I was like, I went back 3 weeks ago, but thank you for your approval. And she looked at me and was like, you did? And I was like, yeah, clearly I'm not pushing my regular numbers or doing anything and being very intentional about it. But I trust my body enough to know what I can and can't do. And it's part of that mental piece, right? Again, I live my life now for her 24 hours a day. The couple hours I can get out to the gym are really truly for me. And that's very important to have, I think, in this newborn stage.
Oh, absolutely. Keeps everything in balance for you, for sure.
Amazing. Maybe we switch gears a little bit, since it sounds like you dropped a little bit of news on Alex as far as future plans. Building anything of that nature is not going to be an easy feat, but where is your mindset and how are you approaching basically building a physical footprint and, I would assume, bringing the community together?
Yeah. So I realized like a year and a half, 2 years into base three, I'm about 2.5 years into it now, that while I can make a very profound impact on folks, the time scale of that, it works in, okay, so a person will do a workout and then maybe the day after or whatever, I'll see their workout and then I'll be like, oh, this person PR'd. Let me retroactively congratulate them. in that there's a disconnect. It's stilted a little bit. I've always wanted to open my own gym. That was something that was on my mind from the early days of the military. I wanted to open my own facility. And now, like, having started and successfully run Base 3 Fitness, that gave me the confidence I needed truly to leverage that into what will soon be a physical location, Base 3 Fitness. And the goal of that is to be this community hub where people can come together and not only train, but also have that built-in support network of friends, potentially family, like just community, right? To help them if they start to waver. It's a little more instantaneous than the back and forth of technology and messages. I see you every day. You come in. I can see how you're feeling just by looking at your face. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's work through some stuff, whatever it is. And honestly, like going back to the conversation about the military, about things that I wish I would have done exiting the military, I'm being more receptive to my network, right? I'm very open to opportunities. I'm leaning into things. I'm asking questions. I'm researching. I'm asking, like, hey, is there any, you know, gym opportunity? Looking for spaces, talking to people that who are in real estate right now are potentially able to help me. So it's in the very early stages. I have a vision, and now it's just one step at a time, just checking boxes, like talk to this person. No, nothing panned out there. Let's move on to the next opportunity, the next conversation, the next coffee meetup, and see if by the end of this year, we can have a space for Base 3 athletes, as well as people in the Northern Virginia area to train. And it not just be about fitness and chasing numbers and stuff, but also just about a small community of like-minded folks who are just goal-driven and unwilling to accept mediocrity. You know what I mean? Like we're all striving for something. And I feel like that is something I want to support.
To seeing that facility and seeing that come to life. We skipped a little bit of the journey for sure, but let's go back to the founding of Base 3. Yeah. You said you're 2.5 years in. What was the crux of deciding I'm going to do this for myself again? And what have you learned in these 2.5 years of building the community?
Yeah. So 2.5 years ago, the management at my old facility and I just were starting to not see eye to eye anymore on certain things. So I was like, you know what? It's my time. I'm going to branch out. And it was very scary. Like, again, talking about transitions and the fear factor going into that, I had to have some deep conversations with a friend of mine who I'd consider a mentor now. She reminded me, like, hey, there's a whole world outside of your bubble that you've been in at this gym. And I didn't realize that. I thought my whole life was in this gym because I'd spent the last 4 years pumping my blood, sweat, and tears into that thing. And to step away from that was terrifying. It was like looking over a ledge with a 1,000-foot drop before me. So after having that conversation of understanding that there is a big world outside of wherever you happen to find yourself in that moment, that's what led me to take the leap. And it's something that I often say, I wish I would have done it sooner, but I don't think that's the case because I think I needed to learn these lessons as I've gone through my time coaching. And it's taken me 15 years to open my own business. And I feel like some days I took the fast way, like I took the fast route to get there. It's definitely a series of lessons that I feel have set me up to be a better coach, a better mentor, better whatever the title is that I wear for that given day. But yeah, it was just definitely a chance for me to take all the lessons I've learned and apply them in a way that I'm comfortable with. That was ultimately the desire to open Base 3 Fitness.
Yeah, I was there that day that you walked out. So I do remember that
very emotionally.
And yeah, it was a big day. It was a big deal, even for the community members to see you walk off. And I think your pull at the gym is evident, right? We're sitting here having this conversation years later, still a part of each other's lives. And I think many of us felt that way, that such a charismatic, such a great coach, right? We followed you into the new, wherever you're going, and a new fitness facility. I'm excited for that. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the early days of Base 3. How much of a plan did you really have before you said, I'm going to do it? And how much of it was spur of the moment? You know what? It's time. I'll figure it out when I get there.
Well, that's a really great question. There wasn't a lot of planning. I think in my head, I had a general idea, but the timeline of me leaving my position at that gym, it all happened very quickly. So I was like, I had to talk to my wife and I said, hey, Are you comfortable if I just start my own business? And she was like, holy shit, I guess so. Like this, we're going to make this work. And the analogy I use is it really felt like jumping out of an airplane and then trying to build a parachute on the way down quickly. Holy crap, I'm going to hit the ground. I need to make this happen. So I think there was a lot of value in that instantaneous pressure that was placed on me. Hey, starting today, like I walked out of the facility, I didn't have a job. That's it. What do I do next? Yeah. And that was, it was one of those things where I didn't really know what direction it was going to take. And I truly have relied on my intuition quite a bit. And one of the things one of the phrases I use a lot when I'm faced with a difficult decision is trust your gut, use your head, but follow your heart. And if you do those three things in alignment, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be taken to a good spot, I feel like. And I've really tried to do that. And honestly, if you were to tell me 2.5 years ago that, hey, Cameron, most of your clientele are going to be mid 30s to early 40s, women, new moms, like I would have been like, no way, I'm working with the meatheads. I'm getting everybody just absolutely jacked. But that's not the case. I just find so much more satisfaction in working with the clients that I work with now. And I had no idea that I'd be here like 2.5 years ago. It's crazy.
I consider myself a meathead. I don't know what you're talking about.
True. Yeah.
You can be both simultaneously, right?
Very true. Yeah.
You can't see my protein powder selection behind me, but it's there.
Nice.
It's there. Absolutely. Cool. So we're coming up on the time here, but I want to give you space to, if you were to distill down and look back from your path from leaving high school, 18s, big dreams to now, what advice would you give yourself, that 18-year-old, and anyone coming up looking for a similar path in military, health and fitness, and wellness?
Oh my gosh, I knew you'd hit me with something like that. Hey, trying to summarize 18 years of...
No big deal, right? Easy
no big deal.
Softball.
I feel like it might be a cop-out answer, but it's true. You have to trust the process. And I know this is something that comes up a lot. It's just, if you do the work, and if you can go to bed each night having reflected on your day and honestly answer, did I move the ball forward? Did I move toward my goals? Am I happy? Am I happy with the journey that I'm on right now? If you can do that continuously, it acts as like the bumpers in bumper bowling to keep you on track. The only thing that you have to wait for is just the passage of time. This stuff takes time. It's gonna be a brutal journey at times, often uphill battle, but the more you lean into your network and your community of people, the lighter that load feels on the long term. So just trust the process and embrace your network and your tribe, your people, whatever it is, and lean into that help, and you'll get there a little bit faster and a little bit easier.
Trust the process. I love that. I would be remiss if I didn't get a book recommendation from you, because we trade books all the time. What's your current book recommendation for the listeners?
Mastery by Robert Greene. Like, I have this much left in it. It's a super thick book. It talks about basically how to take what you've lived through in your life and your experience and turn that into your life's work. And basically, as you get later into life, once you exit the apprenticeship phase, you then enter this mastery phase. And I feel like, to throw that word around, mastery is like a big word, but I feel like I'm 36, I'm about to open my own facility. I want to take that decade plus of knowledge and condense it down into this gym, this next step, this next iteration. So that's the book I'm reading right now, Robert Greene, Mastery. Really good.
Sounds like some light reading.
Yeah, it's dense. It's like this thing. It's the thickest book I ever read.
Any final questions, comments, Elliot?
No, I think all I want to say is that I really appreciate your journey and still being at your position of finding new areas to pivot to constantly grow. I think it is both a really strong reflection of who you are as a coach and a trainer and maybe a therapist, as someone who's also applying it to their own life. So I just want to say I really appreciate that. And I think it's really impressive to see you are not just talking the talk, you are actually walking the walk too, which is a lot to say for people in a similar set of shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so grateful. I think I messaged you, Alex. Like, when I got invited onto this thing, I was like, after listening to a few episodes, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is pretty serious stuff. Let me put my best foot forward here. So I'm super grateful to be even considered for this. And I'm just really honored to be a part of this show. And I love the message and the meaning behind it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great talking to you. And again, we talk a lot. So
yeah,
off the show, check in on my workouts for sure. But it was a wonderful absolutely. Having you as a guest, Cam. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.
This has been Mastering the Art of Failing. Your hosts have been Alex Love and Elliot Volkman. To get the latest updates, go to failingpod.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms. All viewpoints expressed on this series solely represent the individual speakers and guests who share them, and do not reflect the opinions of the companies they represent nor our sponsors.
This has been a Chaos production. Embrace it.